Sure is good to see everybody here this morning.
As I look out into the audience, I see we have some people that are visiting with us. We hope you feel welcome. As a matter of fact, we hope that you feel so welcome that you will have the desire to come back and to worship God together with us again whenever you are here in the Lindell area. A few weeks ago, I began a series of lessons on the subject of worship. And I tried to point out to you in the introductory sermon that worship is actually a manifestation of our own personal relationship with God. And that's why I again come back to a question that I asked in the sermon 3 weeks ago. What kind of relationship do you actually have with your Creator, with God Almighty? Our sermon this morning is going to be trying to continue along this same line of thinking to help you come to understand basically what Christianity is. And I'm wanting you to recognize that Christianity is a religion of the heart, with our relationship with God at the very core of it. We're going to begin the sermon this morning by going over to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. In the text here, Jesus is being asked a question. And the question is this: what is the greatest commandment of all? In response to this question, Jesus says in verse 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." The second commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Then he continues and he says, "On these two laws, on these two commands, hang all the law and prophet." I'm wanting you to recognize that the very core of the Mosaic covenant was two commands: love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, love your neighbors, you love yourself. Please understand this. At the very core of the new covenant under which we live, the covenant of Jesus Christ between God and all mankind, are the same two commands. To love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, to love your neighbors, you love yourself. I have a question I want to ask all of us here. What do you get from this command to love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind? Do you get from this command a casual relationship with God? To where He's there, I like Him, He's nice, I hope I go to heaven, I think about Him sometime, I'll do things that I hope He likes sometime. I don't get that from this verse. I do not get that God wants from me a casual liking. I think highly of you. No. He wants me to give myself totally over to Him in my relationship with Him, to where I, honest to goodness, love Him. And the degree in which the love He wants is with all of my heart. In the Old Testament book, or Matthew, no, we'll go to Matthew next. Matthew quotes from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Matthew 15, verse 8 says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Now, this is the text actually we're going to be building much of the sermon around this morning. Because what you see here in this text, actually coming from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, is where you have people, they acknowledge God, He's there. And oh, they go through the process of honoring God with their lips. But there's a problem. And the problem is the heart. The heart is far from God. And what He sees when He looks at these people is individuals just going through the motions of a relationship. Going through the motions of praise. Going through the motions of honor. But in reality, there is no honor in their heart. There is no love in their heart. There is no relationship in their heart. It's just external religion. Now, the reason I'm wanting to start the sermon with these two verses, the first one I want you to see what God wants from us, is a real relationship. He really wants us to love Him. And second, I'm wanting you to see the danger that we need to be careful about. And that is just ritualistic religion. Putting on a front religion. putting on a front of a relationship with God, when in reality, the heart is where the relationship God wants to be is not in that relationship. Let me show you this now, going to the Old Testament in Jeremiah 3 and verse 10. "And yet for all this, her sister, her treacherous sister Judah, has not turned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord." Now here Jeremiah the prophet is trying to explain to Judah the sin that they're involved in and why they're going to be taken into Babylonian captivity. And the problem is, they have not turned to God, notice this phrase, with their whole heart. But what they were doing was just in pretense. Again, what they were doing was going through the motions. Going through the motions of actions. They thought, well, God, you want me to do this. God, you want me to do that. Okay, you want me to do that, I'll do it. But as far as doing it motivated out of desire, out of love for God, of wanting to honor God because of how they felt about Him in their heart, it wasn't there. It wasn't there. It was just in pretense. In the New Testament book of Revelation, you find a similar circumstance. In Revelation 3, 15 through 16. "I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Now the text here, you're seeing some people that in their relationship with God, they were hot for God, they were on fire for the Lord, and then they didn't care. And then they're serious about their relationship with God, and then they don't care. They're on again, off again, on again, off again, on again, off again. Serious, not serious, care, don't care. You know what the Lord says about a relationship like that? It makes them want to vomit. That's not the kind of relationship God wants with us. He doesn't want a relationship that's just surface, that's just in pretense and show. He doesn't want a half-hearted relationship. He wants us to have a wholehearted relationship with Him. Look at this from James chapter 4 and verse 8. "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Do you understand what a double-minded person is? That's what we were describing back there in Revelation 3. Someone that's, yes, I'm serious about God, and I really don't care. Yes, I want to go to heaven, you know, I really don't care. I got other things to do. Yes, I want to be pleasing to God. I got things that you got to take care of. Part of your heart is for God and part of your heart is for yourself. Now that's the reality of a double-minded person. God is in there somewhere. He's part of your life. He's just not at the center of your life. You're not building all of your activities in your life around that relationship with God. Now listen real close to this, folks. God does not want to be a part of anybody's life. He wants to be your life. He wants you to build your whole life around your love for Him as your God. He wants to be at the center, not just a part of it. When you have a double-minded mind, God is just a part of your life. And what takes up the rest of your mind is what I want to do. How I want to take care of my time and my activities and my things. Please realize this, folks, that when you give yourself as a living sacrifice to God, everything connected to you goes with it. Did you get that? When you give yourself as a living sacrifice to God, everything connected to you, your family, your time, all of it, all of your finances, everything, your whole life goes with it. God doesn't want half of anybody. It's either all or nothing. Please understand that. It's either all or nothing. And what I fear sometimes is we get this mindset that I have to give to God X, Y, and Z, and whenever I have fulfilled my duty to God, He's going to let me go to heaven. I wonder how many people get baptized because they're afraid of going to hell, rather than getting baptized because Jesus is their Lord and their God and their King. Do you understand the difference? Do you understand the difference between being baptized out of fear and baptized out of faith? Do you understand the difference between a relationship motivated by duty and a motivation by desire? A duty-oriented relationship with God thinks, okay, God, you want me to be here on Sunday? Okay, I'll be there on Sunday. You want me to come sing? Okay, I'll sing. You want me to give? I'll give you. Okay, I've done what I want you to do. Okay, well, you want me to? I've done it now. I can go do what I want to do now. Now listen, folks. What I have just laid out for you is why I believe many people don't come back on Sunday night. Boom. Because you have a duty-oriented mindset of your relationship with God, thinking, I have fulfilled my duty. Please realize that's not what God wants. He wants it to be desire that motivates you in your relationship with Him. He wants it to be desire that motivates you in your worship of Him. Not just, I've got to do X, Y, Z and then I'll go to heaven. Whenever you think of a relationship with God as I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I've got to do this and I've got to do that and then I fulfill what I've got to do, you need to realize you're honoring God with your lips, but your heart is what He's looking at. He's here in our presence now, and you know that. When two or three are gathered together in His name, He's here in our midst. And you need to recognize He's looking into the heart of each and every one of us, and He's saying, why? Why are you here? Why are you singing these songs? Why are you taking of this Lord's Supper? Why are you praying to me? Why are you doing what you are doing? Are you doing it out of duty? Or are you doing it because you love Him? Because you actually have a relationship with God. Go back to the first part of this verse. Draw near to me. You know something I've come across sometimes as a gospel preacher and working with brethren? Brethren who will come to me and they'll say, I feel so far from God. I don't feel close to Him. If that is describing a feeling that you have ever felt or feel now, this verse is speaking for you and telling you what you need to do about it. God never left anybody. He doesn't leave us. We leave Him. You draw near to God. Notice how the verse begins. You draw near to God. It starts from your end. And He will draw near to you. You work on your heart, on your relationship with your God, and let it be a heart-motivated relationship rather than just, I got to do this. Because as soon as you think you've done what you've got to do, you're not going to do anymore. Purify your hearts. You're double-minded. That means give yourself over totally. Get consumed with Christianity. Get consumed with your relationship with God. Go ahead. Let go. Just let go. And let it take over. We're going to start by going over to Acts chapter 8. Here you have an Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip has been preaching to him Jesus. And the eunuch sees some water, and he says, "See, here is water. What hinders me or prevents me from being baptized?" I want you to see what Philip's response was. Then Philip said, "If you believe with what? All of your heart you may." Again, I'm wanting you to see what motivates someone to be baptized is the heart. A faith, a trust, a confidence. He is the King. He is the Lord. And that is going to motivate you to want to be baptized, to live a life pleasing to the King. It is true that fear may be a part of it, and it's fear motivated by faith. But please recognize that faith must be at the core of your obedience to God. And to have a real relationship, that faith will eventually progress into love. When you are conscious and aware of the magnitude of God's love for you, when you recognize that God really did give His only Son for you because He loved you, that Jesus went through everything that He went through really because He loves you. It is a consciousness of God's love for us that causes us to have a love for someone whom we've never laid eyes on. I haven't seen God. I haven't seen Jesus. How can I love these individuals that I've never seen? It's to the point that He wants it to be with all of my heart. It is through faith. Now then, before I go any further, there's something I need to do. If what I described to you earlier, that you feel that you are distant from God, that your relationship is not where you want it to be, I've got something I would like to encourage you to please do. Go back to the Word. Okay? You need to go back to the beginning. You need to go back to square one, back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read about the crucifixion of Jesus. And really, don't just pass over it with your eyes. Let it sink in. Meditate on the love of God. Our faith comes through reading the Word of God. And our love comes from our faith. So if there is a problem with our relationship, then we have to get back to the beginning where that relationship starts, and it starts with faith, which comes through the Word. So if you want to draw near to God, folks, this is how you do it. You let Him talk to you. You let Him speak to you. You actually let Him communicate with your heart and tell you how much He loves you. And as you remember from our sermon 3 weeks ago, you start talking to God in prayer. You take your problems, your fears, your cares, your concerns, your needs to Him. And you cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. That's how you draw near to God. Letting Him speak to you through His Word, strengthening your faith and ultimately your love for Him. And you go to God in prayer. And this is the beginning of the strengthening of your relationship and of you drawing nearer to God. And then He will draw nearer to you. And you will find yourself going through a transition in your relationship with God. As you grow in your faith and your love for God, your relationship will be motivated by desire. Desire because you love Him. Look at the next verse from Jeremiah 29:13. "And you will seek me and find me because," or "when, you search for me with" what? "All your heart." Do you see the common denominator between Acts 8:37 and Jeremiah 29:13? The common denominator is the phrase, "all your heart." Do you believe with all your heart? Are you searching and seeking God with all your heart? If you are seeking and searching with all your heart, you will find. If you believe with all your heart, you will eventually love. And because of that, you will obey. Those who love Him, you know the rest of the verse, keep His commandments. There is describing an obedience motivated by a relationship. Malachi. Chapter 1, verse 13. You also say, "Oh, what a weariness." And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? What kind of attitude do you get from these individuals that are worshiping God? This is actual worship, folks. These people, in their mind, they think, we're acknowledging God. We're giving God something. The leftovers. But hey, we're honoring God and we're worshiping God. What does he have to say about that? First of all, I want you to notice this. What is the first thing he says about them? Their attitude. Before he even talks about their actions, he talks about their attitude. And their attitude about their worshiping him and their relationship toward him is, oh man, okay, I'll go. If that's your attitude, stay home. Because it doesn't really do any good to be here. That may be cold-blooded, but you need to realize, if your attitude toward God and your worship toward Him is, I would really rather not be here, you need to realize, He sees that in your heart right now. It's not just enough to be here on the pew. It's not just enough to fulfill what you think is your duty. He looks in our heart. That is where He starts. And He's seeing, why are you doing what you are doing? These individuals here, oh, they were offering Him something. And His question toward them is, should I accept this from your hand? Answer the question. Should God accept it? I mean, this is worship, isn't it? It's directed to God. Should He accept this from their hand whenever it's a weariness to them? They really don't want to do it. And they're basically giving God left over. You know the answer. And the answer is, He's not going to accept it. Even though you've gone through the motion. That being stated, let's go to the next verse. I want you to see Psalms 122 verse 1, the attitude you see in this verse. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. What attitude do you see here? What I see here is someone saying, yeah, all right. Sounds great. Yes, I want to do that. I have a desire to do that. I want to go worship God. Let's go to the house of the Lord. If you want to be here and you're here this morning because it's out of desire to worship God, He knows that. He knows that. Look at the next verse, Revelation 2 and 23. All the churches shall know that I am He who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. When two or three are gathered together in His name, He's here in our midst. What is He doing? He's searching your mind. He's searching and testing your heart. Because that is where your relationship with Him actually begins. Y'all are familiar with John. However, in the fourth chapter, the Word of God there teaches how God wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I believe it's very important that we obey the commands of God in our worship to Him. Again, obeying those commands motivated by our love for Him and our faith. But you need to recognize that just worshiping according to truth is not enough. Just because you come together on the Lord's Day and you're singing praises to God as best you can, even with understanding, and you're trying to do it according to the New Testament pattern, and you're taking the Lord's Supper with the fruit of the vine, the unleavened bread. Don't think that just because it's truth, that that's pleasing to the Lord. God does want it to be according to truth. But He wants it to be real worship. One of the great dangers I fear sometimes in congregations of the body of Christ is that we get into what I call a ritualistic worship, to where we're going through the motions of fulfilling our duty and our obligation rather than actually worshiping God from the heart. He's testing our heart. He's seeing the attitude. He's looking at, why are you singing these songs? What are you doing in your mind when you're taking the Lord's Supper? Why are you praying? Why are you here? That's the first thing he looks at, is the heart. Yes, he wants truth, but he also wants it to be in spirit as well. Look at this. From Psalms 111, verse 1. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with what? My whole heart. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Again in Psalms 100 and verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Here again we're seeing singing and worship, but it's motivated from the whole heart. It's a praise motivated from the whole heart to where it's actually worship to God in song. Look at this from Ephesians, a text you're very familiar with. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I've told you all this before. I was raised in the Church of Christ. As a consequence of that, I knew just about every song in the songbook before I was 10. I didn't memorize them. You just sing them so many times, you know them. There's a real big danger that comes from that. Let me tell you what the danger is. You sing from rote. If you don't know what that means, you sing the song and you sing the words and you don't even really have to think about it. To where you can go through the song and as soon as you finish the song, and 5 seconds have passed, if I turn to you and I say, what was the name of that song? Huh? I really don't know. What was the message in the song? Message? What message? Now listen, brethren. That's a danger that we've got to be careful about. Just singing, going through the motions. If you really want to draw near to God, when you're singing to God, sing to Him from your heart to the Lord. Real worship. Rather than just going through the motions of worship and song. Let me ask you this. Have you ever done this? When it comes time to pray, you close your eyes and you bow your head. You hear amen, you open your eyes and raise your head. And if I were to ask you, what was the prayer about? What prayer? Oh, yeah. He said something. Amen. Is that worship? No, it's not. No, it's not. Do you think that's pleasing to the Lord? No, it's not. That's the whole point I'm trying to get across in this sermon. There's a big difference between worship and pretense. Worship and going through the motions. Honoring God with your lips. Yes, I've said the words. But the heart is far from Him. For our worship to be acceptable to God, it must be real worship from the heart, motivated by our love for Him, with our whole heart in song and in prayer. Look at this. Psalms 119, verse 145. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. We read earlier about singing with the whole heart, now we're praying with the whole heart. Again, you need to realize, whenever you're casting your cares upon the Lord and you're pouring your heart out to Him, folks, that will strengthen a relationship because you're drawing near to Him, because it is an expression of a personal relationship from your heart with God. Do you understand the difference between that and just saying some words by rote and closing your eyes and bowing your head? That is one of the greatest dangers I believe members of the body of Christ faced in our worship to God. And that is just going through the motions. And wondering sometime why we might not feel close to God. And thinking in our mind, I've done my duty. I bowed my head. I closed my eyes. I ate the bread. I drank the grape juice. I sat on the pew. I looked at the preacher. I gave him my money. I fulfilled my duty. I'm going to heaven. If you think that way, you really need to totally rethink your whole life as a Christian. Your whole relationship with God. Because Christianity is a religion of the heart. where we love God with our whole heart and motivated by that love, we have a desire and we are glad and we want to come together and we want to worship. It's not a duty, it's a privilege. It's an honor that we get to do, that we're allowed to do, and we should want to do it. 1 Corinthians 11:29, dealing with the Lord's Supper, says, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." I want you to imagine this now. You come together on the Lord's day, the first day of the week. You got the Lord's Supper set up with the fruit of the vine, the unleavened bread. You're taking the Lord's Supper at the Lord's table on the Lord's day according to truth now. I mean truth, right down the line, according to the commandments and the examples. And here comes time to take the Lord's Supper, and the bread passes in front of you, and you're thinking about, I wonder what I'm going to cook today. The fruit of the vine passes in front of you, and you're thinking about, oh man, what time is this? What time does the game start? You just ate and drank damnation to yourself. You just damned yourself in partaking of the Lord's Supper that you partook of in truth. Again, remember Malachi, should he accept this from your hand? And the answer is no. He wants it to be real. Where you're focusing on the body of Christ. And you're focusing on the blood that was shed there on the cross of Calvary. Every time every one of us partake of the Lord's Supper, and the Lord is in our midst, the first place He's looking is not at the table, but in our heart. Yes, He wants it in truth, but He wants it to be from the heart, discerning the Lord's body and blood. And yes, according to truth, because we love Him. All of it, whether you realize it or not, is a heart-based relationship with God. And then finally, even in giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Have you ever wondered why, under the new covenant, God doesn't get down and say, 10%? Now, if you want to give 10%, that's fine. But why not the 10% tithing? Let me tell you why I believe that. Because when you start doing that, you start thinking, duty. I've given my 10%. I've done what God wants me to do. I'm wanting you to realize that one of the big changes from the old covenant to the new covenant is a covenant that was works-oriented. A covenant that was based upon do this, sacrifice this animal, do this, sacrifice that animal, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this for your relationship with me. And under the new covenant, it's do it from the heart. Love me from the heart. And our worship, whether you realize it or not, is all heart-based, including our giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7, so that each one of you give as he purposes in his heart. Notice this, not grudgingly or of necessity. There's the attitude, for God loves a cheerful giver. Isn't that amazing? Even when it comes to our giving back to God, He's looking at the heart. He's wanting to see the attitude of the giver. To where if you're giving, you go, okay, I need that money, man. I've got to pay a bill. Keep it then. Just keep it. Don't think it's going to be pleasing to God if you don't want to give and it's grudging, but you're going to go ahead and do it for your duty. Again, do you see the difference between a duty-motivated mindset toward God and a desire-motivated mindset? If you are a duty-oriented mindset, you will do what you think you have to do and no more. If it is desire, you're just going to keep on having a desire to praise God, to glorify God, to give gladly back to God because He's showering you richly. You'll want to be here. You'll be glad when someone says, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's sing praises to our God. Let's pray to God together. Let's feed upon the Word of God some more. Let's give back to God a part of that that He showered upon us. You will not see your relationship with God as a drudgery. You will see your relationship with God for what it really should be and is. He loves you and you love Him. He loves you with the perfect love. And what He's wanting back from you is to love Him with all of your heart. Christianity, if you do not understand from this sermon, is a heart-based religion. If there is a problem in your relationship with God, you must first cleanse the inside of the cup. You must first change the heart. And with the changing of the heart, you will eventually see the changing of the life. We must all beware of just having an external relationship with God. We may be able to fool one another. We may be able to fool everyone in the world around us. But when Jesus is in our midst and God looks at us, He searches and He tries our hearts and He sees exactly where each and every one of us really are. That is why I ask the question and I ask you to answer it, please, as honestly as you can. What kind of relationship do you really have with God Almighty, your Creator? If you feel distant from Him, draw near starting today. If there's sin separating you from God, deal with the sin. That's what the blood of Christ is all about. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you can do so this morning. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus really is the Christ, the Son of God, it's not just enough now to recognize Him as the King. Are you willing now for Him to be your King? If you are willing to turn from your sins motivated by your faith and your love for God and repent of them, we'd be glad to assist you. As you by your faith now, by your faith, are motivated to obey the command of God and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and there's sin standing between you and your Father, the grace of God is there for you, the mercy of God is there for you, and the blood of Christ is there for you. Take the sin to your Father. We'll pray for you, we'll pray with you. As you turn from it, the blood of Christ will cleanse you. You can be reconciled to God. If you feel distant because you feel that your heart is not right, you have the ability within you to grow in that relationship. It starts with you drawing near. Go back to square one. Go back to the Word. Go back to the Gospels. Read them again. Meditate on what God has done for you. Strengthen your faith. And as you come to know and believe the love that God has for you, an amazing thing is going to happen. You're going to start loving God more. And motivated by that love, that change in your heart, you're going to start seeing changes in your life. The changes in the life is going to be because of a change in your relationship with God. If there's anybody here this morning who is subject to the gospel call in any way, let it be made known while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.